Hi everyone, it's Dave Denton once again here with more Turnbuckle Trash. Today's edition, we have all three of us together, Chris, Zane, and Dave, all talking about some of the results from NXT All In, the Royal Rumble, and what's really going on with A&E. Chris and I are back later with more results from Royal Rumble weekend, and a major superstar looks like he might be out of here after WrestleMania. More coming up on these and other stories. This is Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
All right, it is Turnbuckle Trash, and here we go again. Zane, are you with me?
Chris, is that you?
Oh my gosh, we're here together.
Chris, are you in North Carolina?
Well, we are here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, not too far away from Ric Flair's place. What's been going on with everybody?
So do you got to say it like you're from there? How do you say North Carolina? So if I were to say North Carolina, you would correct me on that, right?
No, you said it just fine, North Carolina.
I thought they call it North Carolina.
Well, they can. I mean, if you like the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, you got to say North Carolina.
Yeah, there's North Carolina. Yeah. There's also Nylands, the Melfo Town, there's Nashville, Tennessee. You got to put them all in there every once in a while. You know what I'm talking about?
I hear a third voice there. Who is that?
Oh, my gosh, the doctor. The doctor is here, but the doctor is a little ill today, have him here with us.
Yeah. The doctor is ill today. So.
The doctor is very ill.
The doctor can come back from the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Well, the doctor goes to see the doctor. You know that he's in trouble, huh?
That's not trouble.
Well, goodness gracious, it's been in lots of excitement in professional wrestling, and we are just finishing up with the Royal Rumble. Myself, I haven't finished it yet. I did make it to the AJ Styles.
I have seen the aftermaths of all the Rumble. Was impressed with some of it, wasn't impressed with all of it. Like what happened with AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan with the return of a certain someone.
Haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
Well,
okay?
I'm not going to spoil it, but I'll just say that it was very interesting in seeing who did what, but it was, it wasn't a very big surprise. Your jaw won't hit the floor. It's nobody that comes from another organization, but you'll somewhat like it, I guess. You never know.
I suspect that this is going to be like Daniel Bryan is going to held up a family. He's going to have a faction of his own. So we won't spoil it for you who it was at this time, but be expecting some more people to join Daniel Bryan, who, by the way, is a proud member of PETA, which I am too. You know, I'm a member of the people for the eating of tasty animals.
I love.
Yeah. Did you guys hear the latest what PETA did over the weekend?
Oh my gosh! They said that milk is racist.
Yeah,
it
shows
white supremacy.
White supremacy. I said, what about if you drink chocolate milk? What if you drink strawberry milk?
Everything's racist, Dave. Didn't you know?
Oh yeah.
I think this is even racist, maybe.
It probably is.
No. Well, that means I got no limit. Now that means I have to sue Lucky Charms, because if that's racist towards me, because I am Irish and I'm somewhat of a leprechaun myself, so I'm going to be a millionaire. How do they come to get me for Lucky Charms?
Can I tell you guys a quick story, real quick? Several years ago, and Zane, you might remember this, when the people from PETA came to Logan, Utah, and did a protest right in front of a Kentucky Fried Chicken that was here in Logan at 4th North and I think 1st East, if I'm not mistaken. And they brought up a guy in a giant chicken suit, and they put him in a sling, and then they had him on crutches, and he was going back and forth across the intersection with a sign protesting the treatment of the chickens from Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, on my radio show that morning, I said, why did the giant injured chicken cross the road at 4th North and 1st East in Logan? And my co-host at the time said, why? And I said, so they could become finger-licking good. And someone Whoa. From PETA was listening. They were not it's... happy with Dave, and I was happy that they weren't happy with me.
Chris, so you were talking about leprechauns earlier, and that was quite the interesting, silly return of a fellow leprechaun in the women's rumble match.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, he finally came back when he came out from underneath the... I was happy to see Hornswoggle. I was really excited. I mean, finally, the man, you know, he was kind of worried about how he was going to survive after he had left. He was released from the WWE. He had children and everything, and I was glad to see. I mean, it was fun to watch him chase after the women. I felt kind of jealous. I figured they would pay me to do that, but that's another story.
That was a good comedy bit with Selena Vega.
Yes.
I enjoyed that.
Oh, yes. Loved it. It was good. I mean, the women's Rumble match had a lot to offer, and it was great to see, but I didn't like the end of it. I thought it was kind of cheesy to have the man.
I liked it.
The world she went. You did?
I great. Liked it a lot because the very first match of the main show was Asuka against the man, Becky Lynch, and when Asuka won that first match, I made a note to myself, and I said, Becky Lynch is coming back to win the Women's World Rumble. And I should have put it on Facebook at the time, but as bad as I'm feeling right now, I didn't want to do nothing but watch the match. So,
but now here's the question. It's who will she take on, Rousey or
Rousey? No, Rousey.
Yeah?
Yep.
You think the man? Oh, yeah.
Yep. The man versus the real man. So, I mean, yeah. Yeah, it'll have to be.
Nope. Here's what's going to happen. Okay?
Okay.
Take it from the guys watch wrestling longer than both of you combined.
Yes. So,
later in the evening, when Sasha Banks lost to Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey beat her. And then Sasha Banks, as she's walking off, made the Four Horsewoman sign. So they're Ooh. Setting up something either at WrestleMania or Fastlane or something like that to have a match with the Four Horsewomen of MMA, which all four of them are in the WWE now, and the Four Horsewomen of NXT, which are all on the main roster now. So I think that is a very good possibility for WrestleMania.
I kind of want to shift gears a little bit, if you guys don't mind.
Well, okay, sure.
Talked about a few things last time on the podcast, and Dave, you brought up the new promotion that is coming out, AEW, with Cody Rhodes. There's supposed to be a lot of things coming in the pipeline for that. But one thing I wanted to talk to Chris about, being a Southern man himself, and Dave, you can share some on this too. Like, let me back up a little bit. So a couple years ago, we had Jeff Jarrett's new promotion was gonna make some headway. I was super excited for it. I bought a T-shirt, and they had the Invasion on Impact with the Jeff Jarrett angle, and they did some other things, tried to do that baseball stadium tour, but it didn't really last. It just fell flat on its face. So I want to ask Chris and Dave, what makes AEW different than any other upcoming new promotion? That what makes AEW different than ROH, Impact, and any other small promotion, you know, like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood or New Japan or any of these places that smaller promotions are probably doing pretty good in? Chris, go ahead.
They're going to have David Arquette as the world champion. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Well, but I'm no, I don't really know what's going to make AEW any different than WCW or Ring of Honor or TNA. The only thing that I can tell you is, by the mouth of Cody Rhodes, there are not going to be any writers. he said there will not be any riders, so that means the wrestlers have a free range of what they want to do. But tell me this, of everybody that they have, there's not any old-timers there. None whatsoever that I know of. I've looked at the roster. There's no old-timers. It's all new blood. I say that AEW is going to give a good run for the money for the WWE and Ring of Honor. But here's the question. How long can this new car smell last?
For my what my two cents worth are, there's two things that I think they have going for them. The increase in people's interest in other wrestling besides the WWE that has increased over the last year, they have a monetary backing that is second to none, but they still need that TV deal, and they need to do it right as soon as it comes out of the box. They don't need to have any hiccups. They need to have very good TV programs and advertise the heck out of it. I mean, advertise the heck out of it that this is coming to either TNT, TBS, Spike TV, or Paramount, or Fox Sports, or wherever they get this deal. They need to make it a splash the first couple weeks. But that also means they need to do it right.
So what does that mean? What does do it right mean?
Good storylines, good performers, decent if not very good production value, which I know you're big on. They don't need to look like watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I love the show. I watch it. But I'll just give you guys a little hint. They were doing an interviewer event, and they had a ladder match for a championship belt with Royce Isaac. And Royce Isaac works a lot with our friend the MK Bandit, and he was going against Chris Bay, and they were having a ladder match. Well, when was the last time you watched a ladder match that only had one ladder in it? And this was basically one ladder. And at the very end, they introduced a second ladder. It could have been done better. I think Royce Isaac is a talent. I think he's going to be a huge star. But I think if they would have said, okay, let's go spring for a couple of more ladders and get them destroyed. You know, you're going to waste $100, $200, but it's going to look good on the TV. That's the production end value of that.
You know, and I recall back in that back in the first, one of the first ladder matches with Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental title. Didn't they only have one ladder?
Probably so. But what do you expect now?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, they ought to be able to go to a Lowe's home or a Home Depot and clean out, do something. I mean, come on, ladders are a little bit, they're very expensive, but they are also very cheap too. But I mean, how many times have you watched a ladder match? Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, they even have a tables, ladders, and chair match without tables, ladders, and chairs. So, I mean,
so
come on,
along with AEW, I'm just reading some stuff online. It says that, let me read this to you guys and see if it makes sense of it. It says, while wrestling fans were recovering from last night's WWE Royal Rumble, All Elite Wrestling's biggest signee, Chris Jericho, was adding his commentary with some intriguing statements on Twitter. It was in regards to his new company's interest in some of the talents on North America's top three promotions, claiming that AEW is only interested in 6 to 8 of their talents total. So I'm wondering, with that statement, you know, I think everybody's thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to pull from all this talent from the WWE, all these people's contracts that are ending. So where would they be doing their recruiting out of, Chris and Dave?
Well, if you look at the roster, a lot of that roster right now that they have came from ROH. And there's also been talk about sharing talent with Impact. I don't know if they can get a lot of talent from the WWE unless the WWE releases them.
They got one.
Which one?
Well, rumor has it Dolph Ziggler.
That's a rumor.
Yeah,
believe it when it's announced.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
Yeah. The former Neville is going to be wrestling with them. I think there's plenty of talent out there, and if Cody Rhodes is right, they're not going to use a writing staff, and that the wrestlers are going to meet together and come up with a plan. Hey, that's fine, but you can't let egos be involved, and that's a real issue for All Elite Wrestling. And Zane, by the way, did you know this? MGM Grand, May 25th, All Elite, Double or Nothing.
In Vegas.
In Vegas, baby.
I'm going, dude.
I don't know if I can.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah.
No. I think I'm going to try to go, dude. I think I really am going to try to go. I'm going to see if I can find Dr. Dave a way to get his butt down here and go with me.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? So who knows? But, yeah, I think it's going to be all interesting to see what they're going to be doing with the all-in promotion. But that TV deal is going to be so important. And then writing a cohesive, good storyline. And I do think they need to go a little bit more harder edge. I mean, you got to find a niche. I mean, that's the thing. The families, the WWE universe is going a lot for the kids. And you can do some of that, but you're not going to be able to go against the New Day and things like that. But you can have a comedy act or two. But you're going to have to think about this and be very cohesive and also very well thought out. And I would say right now, checking the egos at the door will be very, very important.
Ego part, you are correct about that. It's going to be kind of hard because there are wrestlers that only want to be, this is my show, not your show. And Chris, Jericho's not one of those people that are going to do that. He's going to let the younger talent, you know, do what they've got to do and get them over. But like you said, he's going to be the face that runs the place. No pun intended to AJ Styles, but I mean, that was a quote from Chris Jericho that he will be the face that runs AEW. How that's going to happen, I don't know. Maybe he's got some magic potion in the back of his jacket. I mean, he is still doing New Japan Pro Wrestling, so let's see what Chris Jericho can do with AEW too.
Well, the guy's a veteran, and the guy's got a lot of years under his belt. And so, you know, if it's somebody that knows the business, I'd imagine it'd be Chris Jericho. But, Dave, I see the Double or Nothing ticket announcement party will be February 7th at the MGM Grand Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to announce when tickets will go on sale and things like that. So we'll look forward to February 7th.
Anybody want to bet on how fast the tickets go for or how fast the tickets sell out?
Yeah.
We're talking
so awesome.
Less than 30 minutes again. I don't know how big that arena is, but it's fairly large. They've had some good events at the MGM arena. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Well, what else you got for us, Chris?
Well, you wanted to talk about a certain individual that was supposed to make his Royal Rumble debut, but never did because of his anxiety, Lars Sullivan?
Yeah, so I guess he was supposed to make his main roster debut. They were going to wrestle a dark match on Raw a week or two ago. They said he left the arena because of an anxiety attack. But I haven't heard much more after that.
I haven't heard a word from Lars Sullivan. Don't know where. I haven't. From what I understand, he made a statement that he apologized to the WWE Universe for having these panic attacks. He don't know what's going on. I say get you a bib and a bottle and have someone rock you to sleep. If you can't handle this, I understand you've got anxiety. Okay, fine. I have hair follicles that fall out. You can still get in that ring and still go at it. Maybe make that a storyline. Can that be a storyline?
Yeah.
He's got anxiety. I mean, don't make him a joke. But this is supposed to have been the next big thing. Yeah, he's the next big thing, all right, out the door.
Well, as someone who has not necessarily performed, but I have emceed several events in front of as much as 10 to 15,000 people before concerts, people like Garth Brooks, The Beach Boys, Three Dog Night, REO, Speedwagon, Styx, things like that. It is nerve-wracking to know that all these people are going to be looking at you. And they don't want you. You don't want to make a fool of yourself, but you know, he's done this enough in NXT, and, you know, I hope that he gets some help. I want him to get some help because I love Lars Sullivan. That match last year at NXT TakeOver New Orleans, that ladder match he was part of with the North American title at stake, was the match of the year to me, and he was a big, integral part of it. So if he needs to go to a sports psychologist, he needs to go because he is a talent that doesn't need to go to waste.
Yeah, I agree. So another question is, so John Cena seems to be going by the way of the part-time role that, remember when he made fun of The Rock so much in his WrestleMania 30 deal and told him how The Rock went to a part-time role and Cena's following suit. So what are you guys, what's going on with Cena? Where's he, what's he going to do? And what's with that hair?
Looks like John Bradshaw Lakefield, doesn't he?
No, it kind of looks like Ernest P. Worrell to me. You just need someone to say, hey, Vern. You know it, Vern? No, I don't know what the heck's wrong with John Cena. I don't really care about it. We can't see him anyway, so what does it matter? I mean, he's never there anymore.
Here's the deal. It goes back to Lars Sullivan with this one. Lars was supposed to attack John, and that was going to take John out of the Royal Rumble because John is filming a movie right now. However, Zane, you had a really good point about when John was so derogative of The Rock several years ago when they did that great bit going up to WrestleMania. And John was speaking from the heart at the time, but with all his acting roles now, and he's decided to kind of pull back a little bit, you know, he got in touch with Dwayne and apologized. He said that on the Today Show. He said he put it up to being young and stupid. And he did apologize to The Rock for doing that to him in a shoot.
Hmm.
Isn't that lovely? Break out the violins. That just, my heart bleeds for you, the man that movies go straight to DVD. Thank you. So, except for Bumblebee, I mean, I never got to see it, but at least they're trying to bring back the old Transformers instead of this new crap that they're trying to push down people's throats like they do with other, you know, with other people in the WWE. But John Cena, it's time for you to go. You're never going to win another championship. Yes, you got hurt, but no, you're doing a movie. So you're a hypocrite. Thank you very much. I'll step aside.
Oh, harsh words from Chris.
Well, I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it. You're a hypocrite. Step to the side. Thank you.
Zane, remember this. You cannot buy John Cena's shoes.
That's true. I can.
Well, especially now that Kmart's pretty much out of business. I don't know where I'll find them anywhere. Exclusive. John Cena's shoes, just like his WWE career, are disappearing.
Yeah. Faster than ink could be.
Yeah.
So
faster than a Democrat at the wall. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. Sorry. So darn. Go ahead.
So it seems to be that there's a lot of stir too on Chris Cyborg was spotted at the WWE Performance Center. Some of these gals in the Rumble were former USC people. What's going on? Why, Dave, you would be probably a good one to ask this question too, is why does the WWE and stuff seem to be recruiting from UFC and MMA instead of recruiting from independents? What's the difference? Why are you think that they would want to recruit somebody that's been in the business a long time instead of somebody that they're going to have to spend a bunch of time on in the performance center?
Well, a lot of it has to do with athleticism. And these people are already athletes. They know some of the moves, especially the ones that know judo and throws and things like that. You got to look at the what happened to Royal Rumble. Yes, there was a lot of NXT talent there. including one Casey Cotangero. She was on an American Ninja Warrior
American Ninja
for years.
Warrior.
She did a fine job. So I don't think it's that they're not going for others. It's just that it appears that they are.
That girl that debuted as number one, I can't remember what her name is. She was former MMA person as well. You know, I was amazed to see. Did you see her sizing up Charlotte Flair?
Oh yeah.
I mean, that could be some serious competition for Charlotte, because they were both about the same height and the same build and the same attitude.
Yeah, it's Lacey Evans is her name.
Yeah, Lacey Evans. She was sizing up Charlotte. Charlotte Flair, big time, man. I thought that was awesome. Good to see this younger talent getting in there and doing stuff. But, you know, my thoughts, Dave, go to, I oftentimes wonder, if anybody out there is listening, this is not meant to be offensive or anything like that. I've heard just that sometimes on the independents, they can pick up bad habits and things like that. And then so they come to the WWE and they have a certain way doing things, and it's hard to adjust to that way.
I would totally agree that they have to adjust to the way that they are trained, because they do pick up bad habits. You know, in the independents, they don't have these former great competitors as trainers. They don't have these people that have worked for years learning the moves, and you guys know as much as I do that it can be a dangerous occupation in there, and they're trying to get away from people that might have those bad habits that we don't see.
So do you see it as an advantage then to find somebody with the, like, that has been an American Ninja Warrior and MMA and things that, you know, or that they still have the athleticism, but they can take them to the WWE Performance Center and say, you know, this is the way we're going to do it, you know, and not turn them loose on the independent?
I have no problem with very smart idea on their part. But they still keep their eyes out on the independents. I mean, they've gotten some big names over in Europe, like Walter. Man, that guy is a beast. He was on NXT TakeOver in England. And then they had some others that have come over from Europe. Now, will they be building more NXTs around the world? You bet they will. I've already heard about a possible NXT Germany. I wouldn't be surprised if they did an NXT Japan to try to take a little away from New Japan.
You know, did you notice, Chris, I don't know if you noticed this in the women's Rumble match, how many of the competitors, I'll bet you there was a good solid, I know of at least three that they said were from Australia. So why do you think that they're recruiting from overseas a lot more?
Well, the reason they're recruiting overseas more is because wrestling is still real to people overseas than it is here in the United States. They've got more independent wrestling organizations across seas than we do. Well, I mean, we've got them here. I mean, they've got schools over there that they really, really do a heck of a job. I mean, I've never seen anybody in Australia yet, but from what I can tell from the Rumble last night, these girls, they know how to jump like a jackrabbit and also jump like a kangaroo. But hey, if that's how you're going to get your, it's best to go out and search for new talent than be in the United States. Okay. Let's say this, Zane, let's say that Triple H was to come up to you. Wouldn't you, I'm going to give you $1.2 million to go into that ring and act like an idiot. You want to do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Then you want to get, and your first match is with The Undertaker. And your first match is with The Undertaker. So
what would be more painful, the tombstone or sitting there waiting for the entrance to get over?
I'd rather have Hell's Gate than watch him come in there. I mean, at least just think if Finn Balor and The Undertaker were to do something at WrestleMania together. The Demon King and his entrance, you can make three sandwiches and have a shower by the time they get to the ring.
So. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought there. I just had to get that pun in.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, Dave, I want to talk to you about that then. What we got Chris's take on why there. What are your thoughts on going, especially Europe? Why Europe and Australia and some of these places?
Money, 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 money. The WWE is an international conglomeration where All Elite might be. ROH does some shows in Canada and in England, but Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, they did do a show in China last year.
Really?
But yeah, they did. They were the first professional wrestling act to do a show broadcast from China. The entire card was in China. So it all has to do with trying to have that international flair, that international publicity that they need to be an international company. I mean, even Pete Dunne, when he comes out, you know, he is a great look, but he basically focuses on the NXT in Great Britain. Walter, when you get to see this dude, oh my word, he is a beast. So
Zane,
I think
we're
that's
not
what
talking
doing.
About Walter from Jeff Dunham either.
No, this guy is. I watched a match with Will Ospreay with Walter once, and I went, "How in the world is he keeping up with Will Ospreay in some of these moves?" And he was move for move
on NXT. But boy, I'll tell you what, if NXT Takeover keeps going the way that it goes, why even bother with why finishing the Rumble?
I hear you, Bubba.
Takeover. But so the first match was the War Raiders versus the Undisputed Era. And Hanson and Rowe, two big dudes, especially Hanson. I mean, that guy is a big dude with that big old burly beard.
Uh-huh.
And I have never seen a guy move like that that is that big. Unreal.
Yeah, and he did that. He did that backflip into the ropes where he came off and did a cutter on one of the people from. It was unreal. I mean, this guy is like 325, 350, and he's moving like a cruiserweight.
And that cartwheel, those cartwheels, weren't they just hilarious?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so awesome.
Now I want you to think of one thing: all four of those wrestlers came from ROH.
Wow.
All four.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Now, Chris?
Yes, sir.
You said you were going to ask me a question about NXT TakeOver, and what is that question you want to ask?
Okay. Why is it that NXT puts out a better wrestling card, a better wrestling promotion than WWE Raw and SmackDown? What is your answer?
Zane, do you have an opinion on this?
Triple H is the one that has most of creative control over NXT. And I think that as well as that's one reason, but I think another reason is these guys are new and upcomers, you know, maybe not all of them. You know, there's guys that are in NXT that are veterans, you know, guys like Hanson and Rowe that have been in ROH for years. And there's a lot of people that come to the NXT roster that should be on the main roster. You know, when Rhino was in NXT and things like that, they're hungry, man. They want people to see them. They want to get noticed, to get those likes on Twitter, to get those followers on Instagram, and to get to the main roster. I mean, let's face it, what is the goal for NXT? It's to groom them for the main roster. It's like you're here and you're either going to work your butt off and prove yourself that we can get you on the main roster, or you're gone, you're cut, we're not going to waste our time with you. And so I'm wondering if some of that has to do with it, if these guys are like, hey, you know what, if we go out and give it 110% and put on one hell of a show, then we're going to get to the main roster.
Okay.
That's what I wonder.
Okay, here's Dave's thought. NXT TakeOver is four times a year. How many pay-per-views do they have on the WWE Network for SmackDown and Raw? There's another one coming up February the 17th. This weekend, NXT is having a special. Oh, this is pretty cool, guys, by the way. During halftime of the Super Bowl, NXT is going to have a six-man tag that's going to feature the Undisputed Era, and also it's going to have Tomasa Ciampa and, Adam Cole, Tomasa Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano going against Ricochet, and you're going to be taking on Aleister Black, and I can't remember the other one. But anyway, there's going to be they're going to put that during halftime on the network, so you don't have to watch whatever crappy musical act they have during the Super Bowl halftime performance.
What a clever idea!
Yeah, it is. And you know who did that the first time?
Tell me.
In Living Color on Fox TV.
Oh.
They had a special Men on Football, and it was absolutely hilarious, and it was live, and it was. I laughed my head off, but it was dirty. But that's going to be coming up at halftime on Sunday. But you think about how they have to set up this pay-per-view, and NXT takes longer for the setup, and the payoff is probably better for the fans than them only having 3 to 4 weeks to set up a storyline with the next victim of Brock Lesnar. Who gives, you know, who gives a you know what about Brock Lesnar? I'm so tired of him. So, but that to me is part of the reason why NXT is putting out such better product, because they have more time to set up the stories.
Well, you just answered it for me. I mean, that's perfectly said. I can't disagree with that whatsoever. I mean, yeah, that you're right.
I'm just that good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We need to start calling Dr. Dave the King. He's now the King Jerry Lawler. Now we have the King of Dr. Dave.
That's right, baby.
King Dr. Dave. Yeah.
Hey, quickly, guys, we talked a little bit earlier about David Arquette. He's been making news. He's back into professional wrestling. And TMZ, I don't like TMZ. Don't get me wrong. I just think they just drive me crazy. They talked to Patricia Arquette, his sister, at Sundance, which is here in Utah. And she says she is scared she won't watch David in the ring, but she supports him 100%. I'm going, oh, if you ever watched him, no, he's really bad. So,
yeah, you'd have a better match with a broomstick than you would David Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Even a blow-up doll would probably be better in the ring.
You're talking about a former WCW World Heavyweight Champion. You guys need to go easy.
Yeah.
I'm a former, sushi-eating champion, too, but you don't hear me bragging about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, come on, man. No.
Back to NXT TakeOver. I texted you about this. There was a holy bleep moment in NXT TakeOver in the women's division for the title with Shayna Baszler against Bianca Belair. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, have you seen Bianca Zane?
I haven't.
Okay.
I've seen Shayna.
She has this really long, long ponytail.
She's the one that whips her hair all around and stuff.
And she used that as a weapon. She threw it and whipped it right into Shayna Baszler and cut her stomach open.
Holy bleep!
Yep. Yeah.
It wasn't real deep. So that was our first holy bleep moment. And then I thought there was a holy bleep moment in the tag team title match for SmackDown titles with Shane O'Mac and The Miz against The Bar when it was Cesaro catching Shane McMahon in midair and going into the Cesaro swing. I bet he went 15, 16 times. It was awesome.
Holy bleep!
Yeah, but that match shouldn't have happened. That we all knew what was going to happen with that.
Dude, I thought it was a great match.
It was.
And the fans, dude, whatever you want to say, feud, the fans eat Shane O'Mac up.
They do.
The guy could go out there and wrestle blindfolded, and he would get. I mean, they love him. That here comes the money hits, and he comes out and does that little dance, dude. The place goes crazy, absolutely crazy.
But the $1 million question is, how many more times can he do a coast to coast? How much more can that body take?
Dude, the guy's in good shape, you know, and he keeps himself in good shape. And that shooting star press, dude, that was so awesome.
Well, I mean, Hulk Hogan was in good shape, too, but look what happened to him after all the years of landing on his butt.
But, well, you know, I guess the thing that Shane's got going for him is, I guess he's got enough money that he could probably pay for his consciousness to be transferred into another McMahon clone he's got somewhere.
Well, that's a good one. I never thought about that. Wow. We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
Dave probably would get a kick out of this. They probably have a Lazarus pit behind WWE headquarters.
They probably do.
Vince goes and bathes in every night.
Oh, now I've got that image in my head now. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm not going to sleep tonight. Thanks, Zane. Appreciate that. Dang.
Dude, everybody says WWE is fake, so we might as well make it comic book worthy, right, Dave?
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh. So, you guys, it has been an absolute pleasure. And
yep,
I just love getting Chris on the horn. I never get to talk to Chris as much as Dave does, so it's always great to talk to Chris. And it's, of course, even better to meet Dave.
And Zane, later this week, or maybe this weekend, we're going to have another special edition of Turnbuckle Trash, where we're going to actually talk to a performer, a promoter, and more. Who are we going to talk to?
Dave, this week we have a special guest for the show. He is from Utah. He's been really, really, really awesome to work with this week. My goodness, it's been so nice. He's real getting a lot more heat, I guess you'd say, a lot more his name out there on the independent circuit a lot more. He's done stuff with Future of Honor, which I guess is ROH. They they have some stuff where they have some I don't know, lesser known people.
Yeah, the Future of Honor is a separate promotion with ROH. Yeah.
Yeah, he's done some stuff with Future of Honor, done some stuff with Impact, done some stuff with FSW out of Las Vegas, and he's now opened his own promotion in Salt Lake called Devotion Championship Wrestling.
Cool.
His name is Manny Lemons.
Manny Lemons. Yeah.
Lemons, Manny gives you lemonade.
And he has performed quite often on the Impact stage, so this is something that people around the world might have been able to see him. I saw him when he was with American Championship Wrestling from Hollywood a couple of times, and the guy can go. He's a talent.
Yeah, he's good, and he's local from Utah, and he's really, really excited about his new promotion. And I had no idea that he was involved with, we talked about the new promotion in Utah last time on our podcast. Yeah. And I had no idea he was involved with it. I saw that we've seen him at UCW Zero a time or two.
Uh-huh.
And MK Bandit speaks very, very highly of him. And they've done a lot of stuff together in various promotions. So it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited to talk to Manny.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do that later this week, right?
Absolutely.
Chris and I will be right back with more Turnbuckle Trash. We're going to talk about the Lunatic Fringe. Will he be around after WrestleMania? Might not be. It's next, Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
Hi, everyone. Once again, it's Dave Denton. We're talking to Chris Evans without Zane O'Mac because he didn't want to hear any spoilers when we recorded the other section, but we want to spoil him rotten right now. So, Zane, if you're listening, you can turn it off for a while because we're going to have spoilers.
Yes, it was a heck of a NXT did a better job than they did with the Royal Rumble. I believe NXT is really just taking off like wildfire. I was most impressed with NXT. I mean, they've got some great people, and hopefully they can keep up the good work, and maybe somebody can finally get up to the main roster that finally deserves it, that can actually do something.
Well, they started off with their kickoff show, and they gave their awards for the past year, and it was only an hour long. And to be honest with you, I had no desire to watch it, so I didn't.
Nope, neither did I. I don't really care about their awards. Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about NXT TakeOver in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a show. It was incredibly good, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if you wanted to see professional wrestling at its finest, NXT took over. They had storylines. They had time to produce it. They know what they were doing. The stories were good. The wrestling was excellent. And it didn't have anything to do with Brock Lesnar, or it didn't have anything to do with 17 F5s or any storyline like that. I mean, come on, it was good. It was good.
It was really, really good. They started things off in NXT TakeOver in Phoenix with the War Raiders taking on the Undisputed Era. Hanson and Rowe against Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. Though I always like to point out on that all four former ROH regulars.
Yes, I know. But the War Raiders are so agile, being that big, big, tough, burly guys. And these guys can move like they're cruiserweights. And it was a well-deserved match and well-deserved titles to be changed over. I mean, they deserved it. I mean, I've never seen two people with the girth that those two have, and they can still move like that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely
they amazing. They are really, really good. And the War Raiders did win the NXT Tag Team Championship. It was a very physical match. You know, I'm always surprised by Kyle O'Reilly. You look at him, and you just don't think much enough. You know, the look, it's just not there, you know? But boy, when he gets in the ring, man, he can tear it up.
Yes, he can. I mean, other than that, I mean, his promos aren't the greatest in the world, but when he gets into that ring, it's like he jumps into a phone booth and becomes Superman real quick. The man's just, he's got it going on. He knows what he's doing. He should be called up to the main roster soon, or they both should be called up to the main roster soon. I mean, they need some more tag team divisions in Raw or SmackDown, but let's see what happens. Hopefully they'll stay with NXT for a little bit longer, because that's what's really bringing in the money, is those tag teams. So
I am a big tag team wrestling fan. I've always have been, from the days of the fabulous Jackie Fargo and Roughhouse Fargo to the Fabulous Ones, to the Sheepherders, all the way back. I mean, I even enjoyed some of the AWA, you know, like Bad Company with Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond. I always enjoyed them.
Oh
man,
I forgot
them.
About them.
Oh, man, oh, they were awesome. So now. You've really got a great tag team division in the NXT. So are you ready to move on?
Let's move on, sir. Let's move on.
Jeff Spicoli taking on Cassius Ohno. Matt Riddle.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
Taking on Cassius Ohno in a match that I didn't like.
No, I didn't like it either. I mean, I get that the man used to be MMA. And I understand that he's supposed to be this bad fighter, and he's, you know, he comes from the cage, and I just don't really see professional wrestling in this man. I really don't see it. I see a pale version of Jimmy Superfly Snuka every time that I see him wrestling with no boots on. That's who I see. I mean, he doesn't really do that many high flying maneuvers. He's got that one knee to the face. and that's supposed to be like a big finisher for him. I just he doesn't really draw. That's not a draw for me.
He was huge on the independent circuit. Huge. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that, I mean, I think he can go. I enjoy his work in the ring.
Yeah.
Mostly. I don't like the persona. I mean, every time he comes to the ring and he's going, bro.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
I think of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Jeff Spicoli.
Yeah.
Coming, you know, falling out of that van with marijuana smoke going everywhere.
Danger is my business.
Just like, I mean, I go, yeah, mm-hmm. Do a party. And I just don't buy it, you know. I would like to see a change in his persona.
I would too, but they're not going to change him until they probably get to Raw.
Then they'll bury
SmackDown. Then they'll, yeah, that's like I just said in the last Turnbuckle Trash. I mean, that's all they do. When they get to the main roster, either SmackDown or Raw, they're going to bury the man, and his career is going to be going down faster than a Taco Bell burrito. So, I mean, I just don't see it happening. He just needs to stay where he's at, but we all know that's not going to happen. So, who knows?
Yeah, it was Jeff Spicoli. I mean, Matt Riddle winning by a tap out in a match that it wasn't TakeOver worthy. I mean, one of the weakest matches I've seen on TakeOver.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Yeah, it was. It shouldn't even have happened. They should have found another. They should have found another opponent for Spicoli, or they should have found another one for Riddle or whatever his last name is. They should have done that. I mean, those two, they've already been at it once. Why do it again?
I think this is the third time they've done it. Yeah.
The third time they've done it? Well, once, twice, three times the lady, so they don't need to do it anymore. Leave it alone, and let's get some fresh people in there for both of them to have.
And then the next match on NXT TakeOver was a heck of a match. Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, taking on Ricochet for the North American Championship. This was a barn burner.
And it was good. It was perfectly matched. And I'll be honest with you, I did not think that the belt would change hands. I figured it would stay where it was, but I was surprised that they allowed it. But I knew it was going to happen when the tag team titles split. When they lost them, I had a feeling, okay, he's going to win the North American Championship. And he did. So that was good. I mean, I liked it, but it was a match that was back and forth. It was creative. I liked it, and I had no problems with it whatsoever. And I'd love to see them do it again. Maybe they can do it on the big stage in WrestleMania.
Yeah, that
maybe
would be
they
nice.
Can do it. Yes, it would.
Well,
I just don't like the title.
Yeah, they're going to be doing the NXT TakeOver WrestleMania weekend. I'm sure that's where it will happen again.
That'll happen again.
Yeah,
so, we can do it. Yeah, it was perfect. It was a good match. I appreciated that one right there. I'd pay money to watch that one more time without no trouble.
Yeah. Gargano took the padding from around the ring apron, and he did do a spike hurricanrana outside the ring and then a spike DDT inside the ring and got the count. I think that was how he got the title, but he did win. Johnny Wrestling is now the North American title holder. And that comes into play with the Puppet Master, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So it was a dang good match. I really liked it.
Oh, yeah. Perfectly put together. Excellent storyline. I think NXT is just – we talked about this last night, how they have more time to come up with stories and they have more time to come up with their creative things than anybody else does. Now that they're bringing in more writers – from other organizations, let's see, maybe they'll do something with NXT. I don't think they have to do anything because they don't have any problems with writing.
No.
The way they're doing, they don't have any problems. So
let's move on to the Women's Championship match with Shayna Baszler. Defended her title against Bianca Belair and actually won by submission to retain that title. Once again, a well-thought-out match. It was... aggressive.
Yeah.
It was, you have people interfering. Shayna Baszler, she needs to move up.
Yes, she
does.
She's ready. I mean, she's already proven herself in the ring, and that match right there just signifies that she is ready to be on Raw or SmackDown. And I'll say this about her. I wouldn't mind seeing her in a match with Becky Lynch at all.
Oh, I wouldn't either. Not at all. So
that would be it.
Bianca Belair takes that long hair of hers and she whips it right into the midsection of Shayna Baszler. And it was so hard that there was a cut on Shayna Baszler's stomach.
Holy bleep!
I wonder if she was bladed. I wonder if she was bladed.
No, I tell you what, when you use a whip, and that's like a whip.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that little crack sound. That's the end of the whip breaking the sound barrier.
Holy bleep!
Although they never said there's no way the hair could be a weapon. Oh, yes, it can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could use it to choke. You could use it to whip. You could use it to, and people could use it to do a little flip on her, too.
Looked like a Mortal Kombat finisher or something like that right there. But, that was kind of interesting when she did that. I took about two steps back myself. Like, dang, she bladed her. No, she didn't do that.
No.
Wait a minute. No. So.
You did have interference from the other two four horsewomen of MMA, Marina Shafir and Jasmine Duke.
They were part
of it. And I was fine with that, too.
Well, it doesn't remind me of the old Four Horsemen, but the new version of this, I mean, the four women of professional wrestling now, I mean, it's nice to see some old things come back and they can hold up their four fingers in honor of the true Four Horsemen. But nothing can ever replace the original. But, yeah, it's good to see some old things come back in style. I like it.
Yeah. And then next on the match was the NXT Championship with, I got to say, one of my top five right now in all of professional wrestling, Tommaso Ciampa against Aleister Black. Man, what a fight.
Well, Ciampa has now proven himself from Ring of Honor to WWE, and he's proven that he can hold his own. In Ring of Honor, he was known as a lunatic and he's a psycho. And now that he's with them, he's now a world champion. I mean, they never gave the belt to him in Ring of Honor, but they gave it to him here. And I think he's doing a heck of a job. And hopefully he gets called up to the main roster. I think he's the best heel that I've ever seen right now. I like him as a heel. I hope they keep him as one.
Yeah, they do. They need to keep him as a heel for quite a long time.
Oh, yes. He is a heel.
Yes.
He's a heel.
And he
plays it well. He plays it well outside the ring, too.
Oh, yeah. And he doesn't break kayfabe on Twitter. You got to admit that. So.
No, he never. No, not on Twitter. Not on no social media. He does not break character whatsoever. I like it.
I like it, too. So
yes.
But the champion, once again, Tommaso Ciampa in NXT against Aleister Black. And Aleister Black is one of Zayn's favorite wrestlers, and both of them would appear the next night at the Royal Rumble.
You know, it's amazing the way Aleister Black has been turned. I figured he would already be with the main roster by now. I mean, that is an athletic son of a gun. He can get up, he can move, he's got the speed, the charisma, the ring skills, he's got the mic skills. He's got the whole package, but why they haven't called him up, I don't know. But that was a five-star match between both of those individuals. Congratulations to them. They burned the house down.
And then right at the very end, after they went off the air, I don't know if you saw what happened, but you see Johnny Gargano coming out with his North American title, Tommaso Ciampa with his title, and they kind of look at each other. They kind of say, you know, DIY is back. Both of us are champions. Let's kind of bury the hatchet, which they had that great feud last year. And then out comes the Velveteen Dream. He also had Ricochet come out.
Mm-hmm.
Aleister Black.
Yep.
And Johnny Gargano, Ciampa, and the Dream, and Adam Cole all were out there. And all you know why broke loose. Man, that was a great fight.
Yeah, it was. And that's what needed to happen. I mean, I think they both looked at each other when they held the titles up, and I figured, okay, this is going to be a story. Maybe they'll put title for title up. It'll be like Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior again. Maybe they'll do title for title. but I doubt that'll happen. I mean, I don't think that they're going to have a person hold two belts in NXT. I don't think it's ever been done, but maybe this is the beginning of a new storyline for those two.
Okay, that's the look back at NXT TakeOver. What we're going to do next, we're going to talk about a breaking story that actually broke this morning. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to do that next right here on Turnbuckle Trash.